Amen. Yeah. That's by Jelly Roll and Shambuzi. So, you know, this series, we're going to jam out to some Jelly Roll. So, yeah. If you haven't listened, music's been last month, especially been just listening through his stuff and really, really good. So, you know, we're going to talk about what to do when you get in a jam. Jelly and jam, see? And we're going to look at how to face the challenges of life that I think can easily overwhelm you, and that by God's grace, it is possible, despite the hurt, the pain, the brokenness, the disillusionment, it's possible to overcome the challenges. It's possible to change. You know, victory is possible, I believe, with the hope and the peace and the love and the grace and the power of God. And I'm just wondering, does anybody need a victory these days? Yeah. I mean, somebody say a prayer for me. All I'm asking for is a little mercy. Amen? Amen. Years ago, our family, we were going on vacation. We flew into Miami. We were heading to Key Largo. And there was Cindy and me, our two girls, a son-in-law, two grandkids. You know, they were ages 2 and 1, and a baby on the way, okay? So prior to traveling, Cindy and I talked. We're planners that way. We're talking about how we're going to navigate the airport down there, especially having two small kids and a pregnant daughter. And we all got to the airport at different times, three different cars. Everybody checked in their bags at the curb, and we met inside. And friends, it wasn't until we got to Miami and we arrived, and we started gathering the luggage at the carousel, I realized how much baggage we had. I mean, it was crazy. We had suitcases and, you know, car seats and pack and play and diaper bags, a lot of kids' paraphernalia. Anyway, we got our luggage. We're heading to catch the tram to get picked up so we can get our rental car. And we look like a traveling circus, all right? All the bags, all the gear. The tram driver, seriously, he looked at us, and he just shook his head, and he goes, mucho grande. All of our stuff filled the racks in the tram. And when we picked up the van, we had a van and a car. Friends, it was an entirely different story. It was kind of like Tetris Live, you know. We're stuffing and pushing, we're kicking, we sat on, we slammed hatches and trunks. And at a point, we thought we were going to have to leave one of the kids behind. But we finally made it. And friends, many of you today are pushing and kicking. And you're trying everything you can think of to deal with the baggage in your life. And we all have it. You may have tried to excuse it, explain it away. You try and forget about it. But if you're honest, what you're doing isn't working. It's still there. It weighs you down, and it trips you up. And so I'm going to invite you to admit your struggles today. Identify your baggage, to claim it, unpack it, and then deal with it so that you can be who God created you to be, called you to be. You know, if you're going to be victorious, you have to admit you've got a struggle. So you should knock on heaven's door. Because mine ain't working anymore, you know. And here's a promise from God's word, and I personalized it. It says, I've seen how they've acted, but I will heal them. I will lead them and help them. And I will comfort those who mourn. I will offer peace to all, both near and far. I will heal my people. Anybody dealing with some issues these days? Friends, no matter what you're struggling with, the key to dealing with it is pretty much the same across the board. And the first step, you got to admit you're powerless to change the problem. And I know some of you are thinking, well, that kind of sounds like 12-step, the powerless stuff. And you're right. You know, 12-step was designed by two alcoholic Christians in 1935. And what we're going to do is look at some of those principles through this series. And I will tell you, the 12 steps are based on the Word of God. So there's no misunderstanding about being powerless. It doesn't mean you don't do something, that you just sit back and do nothing. What I'm saying is, if you think you can handle whatever it is alone, you're sadly mistaken. I mean, it is a big step when you admit you're powerless. Most people want to skip this step. They want to jump to the next thing. And so I want to ask you, have you ever admitted that you're powerless to change something, to change that problem, that issue? And friends, we all have problems. Most of those issues center around one thing. The root of almost all of our problems is our sinful nature. You know, in modern terms, we want to be the boss. We want to forge our own future. We want to be autonomous, independent. You know, we want to keep God at a distance and pretty much do what we want. I mean, because after all, I know what's best for me. In other words, we want to play God in our lives. And I know you're going, well, that sounds kind of extreme. But friends, it's true. You know, you do it, I do it. People have been doing this since the beginning of time. I mean, you can trace the roots of that kind of rebellion back to the Garden of Eden. You know, and I've said this many times, a faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. You know, Adam and Eve, they heard the serpent. Psst, psst. Reason God's telling you not to touch the fruit is because when you eat it, you're going to be like God. You can control paradise. You can control everything. And Adam and Eve, they're like, wow, that sounds really great. And so what'd they do? They bit. I mean, and from that moment, it's been a struggle. You know, trying to control things. Trying to be the boss. We want to control stuff, don't we? I mean, we all want to control our image. You know, you ever done that, the image thing? You know, post something. You want everybody to see it. Love of my life. Love you to the moon and back. But in reality, well, the marriage is hanging on by a thread. You know, you share a great pic, you know, dinner, vacation, the new car. You know, living the life. When really you're ran ragged, angry, overextended. I mean, finances are shaky at best. But why do you do it? Keep the image alive. See if you can identify with this. You know, some of you did this morning. You know, coming to church. Kids are fighting. There's a little yelling on the way here. Some eye rolling, a few hand gestures, threats. By the time you got in the parking lot, everybody's mad at everybody. And then you walk in the door, put on a smile. It's a beautiful day. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know? Image. It's image, right? And we want to control not only our image, we want to control our problems. You know, people ask, how are you doing? Doing great. Everything's great. Deep down, dying inside, struggling, hurting, feel alone. I saw a post a while back. It was a picture of a dead cow. It goes, really, I'm fine. Yeah. We try to control our pain, don't we? I mean, God uses pain as an alarm. God will oftentimes allow a crisis or a problem to get us to change something. And sadly, many times, that's what it takes to get our attention, isn't it? That's what it takes to get us to deal with the baggage. You know, I think I've shared this before. Cindy and I, we were staying at a hotel a while back, and I decided I was going to set the alarm clock as kind of a backup for us, because, you know, my phone might not work, hers might not work, so we need another one. And so there was a card right next to the alarm clock, provided extensive instructions for setting the alarm clock. Now, hindsight, that should have been a cue to me or a warning, but it was like, you know, press 7, you know, push the arrow down. But before you push the arrow down, you know, first press and hold the INT button. I always love that before, you know, it's like, I spent about 15 minutes trying to set it. I mean, it's crazy. And I finally just gave up. You know, I thought I'd turned it off. I called down to the desk, asked for a wake-up call, and turned out the lights, hit the pillow. And then I'm like, okay, the whole room's glowed, you know. So we put a towel over it. Still was too much light. And so we got another towel and put over it. Fell asleep about 2 a.m. The alarm sounds, and I mean, it's blaring. You know, I bolted out of bed. I'm trying to deal with this thing in the dark. I started hitting buttons, and it finally stopped. Laid back down, and about a half hour later, it blares again. I turn on the lights. I threw it out the window, and I just unplugged it. I should have done that to start with. But friends, sometimes we don't deal with our problems, do we? We try and cover up the pain. We try and camouflage it somehow. You know, some people drink to deal with it. Others smoke, snort, eat, whatever, something to deaden the pain. I mean, some get angry. You know, some criticize other people to prove that they're in control. You know, well, so they think. Sound familiar to anybody? Control is at the root of many of our problems. And when you're not in control, pretend. Pretend that you are. But the thing is, you know, don't you? You can't hide it from yourself. You know, when you're trying to control things, I will tell you, you're going to face fear. And ultimately, you're going to fail at whatever it is. You know, control is part of our sinful nature. It's what got Adam, you know, it's what caught him. You know, he still had pulp dripping off his lip. And what's he doing? He's hiding. He was afraid. Friends, that's how you deal with things, isn't it? That's how we deal with our fear. We try and hide. I mean, anybody afraid today? Anybody afraid people might find out what's really going on, who you really are? And so what do? We mask up. We create a facade, try and sell a bill of goods, you know. We try to control things. What happens? It leads to frustration, doesn't it? You know, Paul understood this. He wrote this. He says, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil's right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's laws, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. There's this inner battle in us, isn't it? It's between who we want to be, who we really are. I mean, between what we really want to change and what we really do. Anybody frustrated today with something? Listen really carefully here. As long as you're trying to be the king or queen, as long as you're trying to be in total control, you're going to be frustrated. And you're going to be a prisoner to whatever it is. And not only are you going to deal with this fear and frustration, you're going to have an extreme amount, significant amount of fatigue in your life. And it will wear you out and it will mess you up. You know, until you acknowledge the sin, until you stop trying to hide whatever the issue is, the reason it's not working is you were not designed to do it alone. Anybody worn out? Anybody tired of feeling like you're captive to something? Anybody tired of failing? I mean, does anybody long to be free from that kind of stuff? You know, Proverbs says you'll never succeed in life if you try to what? Hide your sins. Confess them and give them up. Then God will show what? Mercy to you. It means you got to articulate very clearly, God, I messed up. God, I'm in trouble. I've got this problem. And friends, if you don't get anything else, get this today. If you're going to change, if you're going to overcome whatever it is that you're trying to overcome, you need God's help. You need God's help. So you should knock on heaven's door. Because mine ain't working anymore. Admit you're powerless. I mean, it's the key to success. It's counterintuitive. When you do, God will show you mercy. It actually leads to freedom. Admit you're powerless. Admit you're powerless to change your past. You know, too many people, they live life with this huge rearview mirror, and they got a itty-bitty windshield they look out of. And if you spend too much time gazing in the rearview mirror, it's destructive. In fact, it's dangerous. Well, that girl never called me back. Oh, my parents, they really hurt me. If I had just got that job, if only that wouldn't have happened. Friends, learn from your past. Gain perspective from it. But keep your focus forward. If you have a giant rearview mirror and an itty-bitty tiny windshield, you can't enjoy the present. And you can't get on with life living that way. You know, Paul says this. He says, brother and sisters, I did not consider yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, what is it, Paul? Forgetting what's behind and straining toward what is ahead. I want to help you reduce your rearview mirror. And I want to help you expand your windshield in this series. Admit you're powerless to change the past. Admit you're powerless to control other people. I mean, we love to control people, don't we? You know, I remember Jim Henson, the Sesame Street guy, puppet master, you know, the Count, Bert and Ernie, Cookie Monster, Miss Piggy. He was controlling everything, wasn't he? Strings, wires. It made for a great show. But friends, I will tell you, trying to control other people makes for a terrible life. I mean, I try sometimes. So do you. And get this, people won't listen. They won't do what I want them to do. And it's frustrating. You know who I'm talking to. Just admit you're powerless to control people. I mean, the only way out is to quit. Simply let go. Work on yourself. I mean, figuratively, you cut the strings, you clip the wires, and you work on you. Admit you're powerless to control whatever that habit is, whatever it is that you're struggling with. Whatever you've tried to change over and over and over. This is going to be the year. I'm going to do it. And you don't. Because you can't. You got to come to a point that you admit, I cannot do this alone. Anybody at that point? Have you admitted it? I mean, have you really? You know, James writes, he says, God opposes the proud. Here we go, but gives grace to the humble. Every time I travel, almost always, especially when it's a full flight, and I'm going to admit, this bothers me, you know. I want to take control of it. But there's always someone that gets on the plane that thinks they're entitled. And so they're carrying more bags than they're supposed to have. All right, they can't count. Let's put it that way. And I'll watch as they're walking down the aisle, they're whacking into people, running into things. They got more stuff than they can handle, all these shopping bags and everything. And I'm thinking, this is just senseless. You know, all you need to do is pack better. You know, check some bags in. Lighten the load a little bit. Friends, as God looks at your life and mine, God sees all this stuff you're trying to carry. God, I'm ready for a trip. And friends, God accepts you as you are, where you are. But I think he says, hey, stop. Before you board this thing called life, let me take care of the bags for you. You can't deal with all this stuff. You really can't. Friends, why can't you admit to God that you're powerless to change that problem? Friends, you got to believe God has the power to heal you. God has the power to change whatever it is. God already knows about your problem, by the way. I mean, when you comprehend God's character, you realize God knows. God knows. Some of you might be old enough to remember the old Nike commercial, Bo Knows. How many of you remember that? Yeah, Bo knows. He knows football. He knows baseball. He knows, and it was just a long list of things. It was a classic, and I've always thought, I'd like to run a campaign for God. God knows. God knows about your struggles. God knows about the hurt. God knows about the pain. God's omniscient. He knows it all. God's omnipresent. He's everywhere your problems are. And I know when you're struggling, it's really easy to think that nobody really knows about my struggles. People don't really know what it means to be a parent today. You know, they don't know the pain I felt when I lost my parent. You know, they don't know what it's like to struggle with pornography or alcohol or whatever. Nobody knows what it was like when my spouse left me. Nobody really knows what I'm struggling with. You might be right. but God knows. God knows. God knows that. You know, David said, you've seen me tossing and turning through the night. You've collected all my tears and preserved them in your bottle. You've recorded every one in your book. Not sure where you're going? Not sure there's a way out, a way through? I mean, you're not sure you're going to survive? There is something really powerful when you know that God has a bottle. Think about this. He's got a bottle. It's got my name on it. And it contains all my tears. Knowing that God has counted every tear, think about that. Knowing that I can't hide anything. Nothing goes unnoticed for God. I think that's a game changer. Last time Cindy and I traveled out of the country, we were checking our bags in to come back. We put them up on the counter. They opened them up. And they took everything out, everything, socks, underwear. They spread it all out for the world to see. I honestly felt a little violated at that point. You got to let God do the very same thing with you. Realize God already sees it all anyway. God knows absolutely everything, so why not tell God about your problem? God's waiting. He's waiting for you to throw your bags up on the counter. Lay it all out. And God not only knows about the problems, yet this, God's sympathetic to it. The Bible says God's like a father. And a lot of times what happens is our minds rush to our earthly fathers, their characteristics and stuff. And friends, we kind of mess up when we do that because God is always sympathetic. God is always there. God will always love us and forgive us and help us. God's absolutely 100% perfect. You mean God's sympathetic to what I'm going through? God cares? God loves me anyway? Yeah, absolutely. And get this, God can change your situation. You know, sometimes God changes you so you can deal with the problem. But with God, change is possible. And the longer you put it off, and I tell people this all the time, the longer you put it off, you resist giving it to him, the longer you just, I'm not going to surrender, the more opportunities you miss. I've watched people miss 10 years, 20 years, because they just won't come to a point and go, here, God. You know, Paul says this, he says, I pray that you begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe him. You know, that word believe, it's not just an intellectual assessment. It's I have faith in. I put my weight in. I totally trust you, God. It's the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in a place of honor at God's right hand in heaven. With God, there's no power shortage. You go, but my problem's big. Well, God's bigger. Change is possible. Paul would later write, he says, yes, it is God who is working in you. He helps you, wants to do what, he helps you want to do what pleases him. And he gives you the power to do it. You catch all that there? God's working in you. God's helping you. God's guiding you. you know, God's given you the power to do what you need to do. You cannot do it on your own with your own willpower. It's not going to be enough. You need something more. You need something more. Somebody say a prayer for me. All I'm asking for is a little mercy. Amen. Amen. God will give you the will. God will give you the power. God will give you what you need to do whatever it is you need to do. And I know I can't be the only one here. But where is it that you need to admit that you're not okay today? I mean, where do you need to admit you're powerless to change whatever it is that you've tried over and over and over and you just can't seem to get through? Where is it that you need God's help? I'm going to give you an opportunity today. The band's going to play. Stay seated where you're at. And I want you to think about where it is that you need to admit you need God's help. That place, see, it's okay to not be okay. And then I'm going to come back out and pray for you. So however it is, you let God speak to you, let God speak to you during this, and just figure out what it is.